for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The important, listen to us, if the whole place in heaven is filled with praise, it's very important to see what they're praising God for. Right? It's very, very important. Very important. And here, I got, did I put it up? Okay, here we go. Joke? Again? I have, anyways, don't worry about it. Here it goes. Number one, this is what's praising God. They are praising, and this is going to blow your mind. There it is. This is what they're praising. They are praising God for his justice. Oh, put a little damper on everything. No, it'll only heighten our worship. It'll explode our worship. If you get the real, perfect, divine justice, it'll explode it. You will magnify after the first point. Let me read the first three verses. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! See, we're just joining heaven right now. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. They're praising the Lord for his justice. It's amazing to realize, if you look in the, it's in the fifth seal. The fifth seal. I'm not going to get into Revelation, but I love that book. Because it's the end. It's the end. And we're in today, my son on the phone this morning said, Dad, I'm a little nervous here in China. He's in China right now. I'm a little nervous, Dad. The atmosphere, I can just sense something. And he says, you know, China and Russia are buddies. He said, I'm hearing from other leaders over their news that they're thinking of war with USA. And so China, Russia and North Vietnam, yeah, those three, if they join and go to war against the West, we have a world war again. We're in it. And my fear, it gripped me. I was in the phone and I don't want my son to know, you know. I'm a little bit gripped, eh? Because he's just 28. But it still gripped me. And then all of a sudden I heard God say, I want you to tell your son right now. You tell him right now. Who cares if they go to war? He'll be the King of Kings. He's coming again. You tell him right now. Put your sights on Jesus because we're in the beginning of the birth pains right now. The rumors of war and all that stuff. They've been going on forever, right? But we're starting something right now. I think the glass is turned over. It's turned over. Eh? Truly, eh? All the stuff that's going on, you can't even get your head around it. You can't get your head around this stuff. And all you can do is just look to Jesus. That's why the church is going to just rise up. What you felt, you're going to feel the whole. This is not just our church. There's going to be people. The remnant of God is going to rise up and praise the Lord. And the presence of the Lord will be here so powerful. People will come out of darkness. People will get saved. There'll be miracles all over the place. This won't be just church, normal church. Our church is not normal. Anybody that comes in, you're going to find out. It's not normal. It's not normal. But it isn't supposed to be normal. It's supposed to be where God is moving all over the place. And when he's moving, we move with him. Correct? So it's happening. So let me just begin here. Praise God for his justice. So why? It is amazing. In the fifth seal, these guys go out. Where's Derek? I guess, okay. Derek's going to be a missionary. Thailand, right? To the Muslims. It's amazing that in the fifth seal, these guys are underneath the altar and they're crying out. Now, you'd think that after these guys go out into the world, they go out to reach the lost like Derek. They're going out and they've got mercy in their heart for these lost people, right? So you'd think that they're under the altar saying, crying out, have mercy on them, have mercy on them. Let me share with you what they're crying out. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Think of it. You'd think that they would be crying out, "Have mercy on them. Have mercy on them." No. How long are you going to just sit there? When are you going to judge these people? And when are you going to avenge our blood that they spilt? They took our lives. When? When? And you know what I think is going on? And I think like Sundar, what he told me one time. When all of us get to heaven, when we leave this earth and we hit eternity and we see God in his divine justice of holiness, we're going to go, "I'm not siding with humans anymore. I'm on your side. You deserve to go to hell. When you rebel against Almighty God," I'm not talking about, don't worry about yourself if you trust in Jesus, the name above all names. But I'm talking about people who go, "I don't want them. I don't want them. I don't want them," and reject them. Then God, you're going to line up. You're not going to be, this is fleshly compassion that we have. I'm talking about divine justice. When you get to heaven, you're going to see a holy God in all of his glory. And he is going to be sitting on a throne and you're going to say, "I'm siding with him. I'm siding with him." Are you with me? That's what's happening to these martyrs. They're getting a glimpse of heaven now. They see what God is and they see what man is. They say, "I'm not siding with that no more. I'm siding with this. Judge them. Judge them. Avenge our blood now. They deserve it." Are you hearing me what I'm trying to say? It's really, really important. Divine justice is a key ingredient in the cross, in the gospel. If you don't have it, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, please don't get all freaked out what I'm saying. But if you're only mushy, "Oh, God's so merciful and he's so gracious and he will, oh, he's so loving." You got a real twisted view of the gospel. A real twisted view. Because I'm going to tell you truthfully, where I get joy is when I start studying this stuff, and it's called biblical truth. And the gospel, truthfully, is the ingredient, the number one ingredient of the gospel is justice in the cross. You move justice away from the cross. You move it away from the cross. You've got mush. You've got mush. Everybody following me? Because our sin, I'm not blaming anybody. Anybody read my testimony, you know, I'm the worst of them all. So I'm not judging anybody. All I'm telling you is I'm a saved man. I'm under the blood of Jesus. I have took refuge to Christ. I am holding onto the cross with my dear life right now. And so are you, right? But the people who reject it, I'm talking about that. God has to deal with sin. It must be dealt with in a just way before God can give us mercy. You hear that? God has to deal with sin in a just way before he can give you mercy, even if you're standing here today. If he hasn't dealt with your sin at the cross, that is justice. The cross is justice. It's not mercy first. It's justice. He brought justice on the earth. He led victory to justice. He led it to justice. He was our justice. God is our justice. And if we don't get this, I'll tell you what will happen to your faith when worshiping. You won't have any kind of awe that he saved me from such a dreadful thing that's going to happen. Are you with me? This has to really go deep, this justice. Really deep. And not only that, somebody will take it. Somebody will take it. You cannot. God is not like us. I don't even know what God is like, but I know he's not like me. He's not like us when I read my Bible. God does not wink at sin. He can't wink at sin. He's holy. He's justice. He is righteous. He is pure in that area. Me and you and all of us, we have a God in our own shaped minds until we get into the Bible and we understand this is holy God, man. And so a lot of the church has walked away from it, but it's a holy God. A holy, holy God. And the only time when you start saying he's a holy God, then you start to say, "Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross.
Thank you, Lord. Because church, if it becomes like a whippy-dooey, 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 it's really foolishness. Because you have no strength in your praise. Why are you praising him? You're praising him because he saved you from destruction, from his awesome justice. It's perfect. It's not like our justice. Our justice is flawed. I don't even want to judge. Don't judge. I don't even know. Wait till the Lord comes. Wait till he comes and he'll judge. He'll judge what's hidden in the motives of men's heart. He'll judge. I'm not judging. No way, man. Nobody can do that but only Christ. Only he can do that. But let me tell you, when you get in front and you really understand divine justice, the cross, that's it. That's what he brought on earth, justice. He brought it right on earth. He was the justice of God. We go, well, I thought he was the mercy of God. It can only become the mercy of God when you understand he's your justice. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Isaiah 53:10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. Yet it was the Lord's will. Imagine that. The justice of God is so fierce, so powerful, that he would put his own holy son on a cross, man, and nail him to a cross because he wanted to satisfy his justice. Think about that. You think about that. Is that heavy? That's so heavy, it's not funny. To satisfy his justice, he would put his own son on a cross. Just think about it. Let it go into your brain of what Jesus had to do or what the Father had to do just to get our salvation. No tweaking, no nothing. No putting anything under the carpet. My son is going to be laid on a cross and he's going to spill all of his blood and he's going to put every sin of every human being on him. And there's not going to be one sin that he's not going to take upon himself. Not one. That's why there's salvation for everyone who comes to Christ. Not one sin. Can you imagine? I'll never forget when Harvey Crouch told me, he said, they didn't just put the sin on Jesus. He became the sin. Incredible, man. He really knows what it means to be filthy. And he was pure. Praise him! Praise the Lord! I'm crazy. I'm nuts. But I know where I've come from, man. He deserves it. I know this so deep in my heart. He deserves it. I'm free. He was pinned to a cross. I'm free. Hallelujah. No wonder they're shouting, praise God for his justice. Amen. Now do you see it? You see it? Look at this. Norman Grubb. It's probably one of my favorite books for revival. I want a revival. It's coming. We first learn that salvation is only possible for lost men and women and children through a broken Savior. This is my body which is broken for you. Reproach have broken my heart. That's 69. It says scorn has broken my heart. Jesus was so sad. Scorn broke his heart when they looked down on him. Broke his heart. In Gethsemane, Christ had a broken will. And on Calvary, a broken fellowship, even with his Father. For the one who is our substitute and who was made sin for us had to take upon himself the proud, unbroken ego of fallen man and women and had to be broken at Calvary in his place. For Christ, 1 Peter 3:18, I like King James Version better. I don't care what version it is. As long as it brings out the light of the gospel. I don't care what version it is. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, I love that, the just. Christ, the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Being justified, listen to me carefully now. I've worked through this whole week, and I had to, God, make it right, man, make me like an arrow. Make it go like an arrow, Lord. And I want you to hear this, please. If you've gotten mercy from God, that's great. You're a Christian. But this justified, is much deeper than mercy. Mercy is he let you go, he forgave you. Justified is just as if I had never sinned. When God looks at you, he says, there's no sin. It's gone. You're like my son. You're justified. Oh, praise the Lord. How can it be, sinful man, that me and you, we sin so much every day? I know, because I know what I do. But how could it be that he says, justified? Never, you have, don't even know. You've never sinned. Cleared. Not forgiven. Never sinned. Are you getting it? Never sinned. How much do you sin, even as getting older? Me too. Lots, eh? Me too. Justified. Never sinned. You have never sinned. How can it be? It's true. Almost lost my teeth. I'm telling you, man, I get so excited. It's not funny. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Tom, justified. 1 year on heroin. 1 year stopped. 1 year justified. You free? I'm free, yes. He's free. I'm free. Just like him. Same thing. Only 32 years more. Same garbage. I'm no better. I'm no better. But God gave me a gift that's unbelievable. I'm justified. And Paul uses this word over and over in Romans when you study it. He's a legal lawyer, this man. I can't wait to meet him, man. I just can't wait to meet the Apostle Paul. A lot of people, man. I mean, this guy is going to be a lot of fun. Oh, I just can't wait. I just can't wait. I can't wait for Paul, and I can't wait for Jesus, and I can't wait for John the Baptist, and me sitting there, and Paul asking questions. Yahoo! And me getting in on it, man. And Jesus answering them. Isn't that going to be fun? You don't want to miss it, man. Nobody wants to miss heaven. Trust me, even for Rue. This body's going to die. I'm 60 years old. Heart attack, 50 years. I don't know when it's going to happen. It's a time bomb. And I don't care. I'm going to be in heaven with him. Amen? Amen! Me and you, we're on a path. Me and you, Joel. Yee-haw! I might see you there, man, first. Or you might see me. Or whatever. I don't know. It's going to happen, man. This is like, I'm not talking out of an empty hat. This is not an imagination. This is not a storybook. This is the truth. God promised us. It's hard to believe, man, that we've got all justified. That's why it bothers me when people bring up their sins again. It bugs me. It bothers me. And I love the church. So I got to be very calm and very careful. Very, you know, but get it! Jesus died so you could have no sin, just as if you'd never sinned. Isn't that a great thing? Eh? Isn't it? You could sin all you want. And God says, okay, I know you're like that, but you're justified. You're free. No wonder the church can sing. We're the only people who can sing like this. Nobody else can sing like this, man. If you don't have it in your heart, you can't sing like this. But if it's in your heart and you're hearing me today and you're saying, you mean I am like Jesus? You mean I'm holy like Jesus? Yes. Really? Wow! You getting it? Are you getting it? This is where justification by faith moves into sanctification by faith and it gets powerful. So I've been saying, God, make it an arrow. Get it into them so we can do miracles. Jesus paid it all. It's an incredible gift. Look at Tozer. He's my favorite. Well, he's one of them. But before I read Tozer, this guy's even more of a favorite, Apostle Paul. So let's leave Tozer on our side, and I'll just read Apostle Paul, okay? Romans chapter 3. Verses 25 and 26. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his mercy. Huh? Anybody have their Bibles? No, it doesn't say mercy. I'm tricking you. I'm tricking you. No, I'm just joking. Here goes, he did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his mercy, his justice at the present time. Here it is. Here's a famous one. So as to be just, God has to remain just, so as to be just, and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? You got it, eh? I know you got it. Here's a just God. He's got to remain just. So he's got to figure a way to remain just and justify us. And he did it through Jesus. Yahoo! You know what? Every time I preach the gospel, I get freaked out, man. I don't know why. You know why? You know why, Tom? Because, yeah, and you know another thing? Remember we talked about PCP and I did it and I was stoned for 14 days? Because my mind is still here. I can be a pastor. That's funny. But I am. Because of him. Because of the Lord. He justified me. And I got that truth when I was young. And man, I went with it. And if you get this truth, you'll be changed. Literally. Because you don't do anything. He did it all. He paid it all. And a lot of people don't get it. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all for you guys. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Tozer says, God's compassion flows out of his goodness, and goodness without justice is not goodness. God spares us because he's good, but he could not be good if he were not just. It's a tongue twister. Let me go slow. God's compassion flows out of his goodness, and goodness without justice is not goodness. God spares us because he is good, but he could not be good if he were not just. He has to remain, and I don't want a God who's not just, especially when I see the things in this world. I want him to clean up house. Clean house. I don't want a God who will, oh, you poor. No. If I'm wrong, Lord, I'm going to come clean with you before I see you. And I made a vow to that with me and the Lord. I'm not going to fight no more. If I'm wrong, cleanse me in your blood. Amen? I'm justified. But let's get it right. Amazing, praising him for his justice. Can you praise him for his justice right now? After me speaking like this? Could you praise him for his justice? Not his mercy, his justice. Praise the Lord. And we don't only praise God for his justice, we praise him for who he is. That he's on a throne and he reigns forever. I don't care what war comes, he's in charge. The Lord's in charge. And if you keep reading here, he goes, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I missed the hallelujah. What? Sorry. And they cried, Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of a rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. He's in control. And we praise him because he is God. He sits on a throne. We're not praising some little puppet. We're praising the Almighty God. We're praising the one who reigns forever and ever. He reigns over everything, man. pulls kingdoms down, lifts them up. Pulls kings down, lifts them up. He puts Trump in place so he can act the way he does. So the second coming is coming. I'm telling you, man. I told my son today, I don't care who he puts in place. That's right. That's right.
So wonderful. So wonderful we could praise the Lord. 24 elders and four living creatures. He makes these four creatures, and 24 elders, he makes them to praise the Lord. That's their job. Nothing else. Just to praise the Lord. Four living creatures and 24 elders, and all they do is praise the Lord. Okay, you want me to give you some proof? Proof? Because I don't have it. I have another one. Okay. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 and 11. Okay. This is the scriptures. You gotta listen, these four living creatures are made by God to praise God. How important is praise? Anybody out there? Very important, very important. And you know where I got convicted for this sermon? Somewhere along the line of ministry, in my heart, and just upset and everything inside. And I lost my heart in the morning time to worship and praise God with my bones. Somewhere along the line, I missed it. And God started speaking to me. And I told you that. And I just said, God, today, when I leave this service, I'm going to pick up my phone. I got my phone. There's songs on the phone. I got my thing. I'm going to start praising the Lord. I don't care what I have to do. The phone's not going to take control of me or nobody in the church. I'm going to praise the Lord. And that's where I get my feeling. That's where I get God. Because I kept my eyes off myself and my problems, and I put them on the Lord. God is bigger than our problems, but the only way we can get there is by praising Him. Isn't it true? Oh, man, I'm telling you, man, I blew it on that area. Let me read this, sorry. Revelation 4, 8 to 11. These four living creatures. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Now listen to this. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Day and night, Colin. Day and night. They're not stopping. They're doing it now. They're doing it right now, brother. Unbelievable. God made these creatures just for that. Holy, 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 holy. This is not foreign to the Christian church. This is normal. That's why he did it. And then listen to what happens to the 24 elders when these guys drop down. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." This is going on and on, day and night. They fall down, holy, holy, holy. Creatures fall down. You are worthy. Holy, holy, holy. You are worthy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is not something that he acts in. Praise is. Incredible. Incredible. Incredible, man. You know what I believe? And I was trying to figure it out. Why did God make these creatures? I know, to praise him. But why? To show how great he is. Show how great he is. To make creatures to praise. I am not your puppet. I am God. I made this world. How great our God. our God, all will see how great, how great is our God. Above all names, you are worthy of our praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God.
You know, and if you look at this scripture passage, God speaks from the throne and he says, praise him, praise him.
Imagine that God speaks from the throne. Praise him. You're so great. Praise him. He says that.
Doesn't he say it? Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great, praise him.
Right from the throne. Right now, I can say that. Praise him. Don't praise him for something. Praise him every day.
Praise him. Praise him.
Now, you wonder, you know, Piper's going to start using this word.
Isn't that heavy?
And you know why I think he's telling us to praise him? Because he is. And I find my satisfaction. If you in this room or in me too, which I know it is, I found something satisfying that wasn't my baby preaching and baby in my life. I was when I got that. Imagine that. Imagine that. He saved you to praise him. That's an incredible thing, man. Isn't it?
Incredible. Praise him for his justice. Praise him for who he is. Hey, don't praise him for what he gives you. That's almost idolatry.
Praise him for who he is. Try to get open the Bible and see this God.
By him.
All the stars in the sky.
Is that heavy?
Hey, try to see a beam like that. Grab us up. All the stars. 100 million galaxies. 1 million stars in the galaxy. You figure it out. God.
How's everybody?
And me? Yeah, it's going to be fine. I'm going to be like, God, somebody said that to me. God. Mary, you go out. George, come on. Ralph, get over there.
No, I'm not joking. This is what he says. I call each by name and not by
one is missing, not even by your great power and mighty strength.
Imagine who would be able to do that? And he loves you and you like this. You're justified. I become so close to this holy God that I'm very close to you. And I become just like you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Coming that close to Almighty God. One day to worship
Him
by coming close to
Him.
Amen.
Hey, good. You're getting it. It's true. It's true. It's so blessed. We're so blessed. Hey, are we blessed, sister? Are we blessed?
Forget about what you've done wrong. Who cares? Satan care.
I invite you to the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
That's the, we praise him for that. Amen? This is just about a foretaste, man. Yeah, I'll be a little nervous, you know, going from this place, you know, physical life to this. I'll be a little nervous, yeah. But once I get there, oh, sitting down at the table looking at Christ at the head of the table. Can you imagine? I don't know how you sit. I'm sitting with you, man, oh, man.
No way, man. That's a nightmare.
You're only thinking about
it. No, no, that's right. He's right. He hit it right on the head. I won't be thinking about any of you people.
Even my own way. I'll be thinking about Jesus. He saved me. I wouldn't be here today.
It's a wonderful thing to know that he saved me. Justified. If you haven't, and the religious, sometimes very religious people, they'll go, oh, I believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus. And there's no life.
Because it hasn't been grace justified. They haven't taken Christ and said, he is my refuge. Without him, I will die. I will die in this world. I will get swallowed up by this evil world. Unless Jesus Christ is my refuge. And boy, he is. Because I can hear you sing. You have a refuge. He's our refuge, amen. If you have never made a commitment in your heart, not just prayer, but actually embraced him as your justifier, that Savior, do it. There's nothing like that. I'm not talking about a religious thing. I'm not talking about, you know, churchy. I'm talking about really, you know, he's my justifier. No matter what happens, if David... God forbid, if something happened to me in China, I'm still, you are my justifier. I will trust you, Lord. Amen? Right to the very end. And so we open up this thing here, open it up, open it here, and as you come up, this is, as I always say, what's the children's story? Aslan! Okay, you know the... That's it. So the door, I'm opening it up. The wardrobe, that's it. Go and meet with Jesus. You're entering into eternity. Don't think this is a joke. This is the truth. This is not ritual. This is what he did. This is my body. I broke it for you. This is my blood. I spilt it so your sins can be taken away. Justified! Walk up, justified! Amen? I should have a big stamp, you know? And people coming up, and you justify your head. Boom! See you later! You're not gonna forget! Boom!
Anyways, truthful, come up and rejoice. That's what I'm trying to get across. Come up and rejoice. You're justified. Come up and rejoice with Christ. Take it. Go back. Listen to this song. Yeah. Come, anybody. Listen to this song as you're coming up, and then we'll sing a song. Okay. But listen to it. You can sing it if you want.